Good morning, Wester. Good morning, Wester. And let's stand as we begin in worship this morning. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word. I have the living hope. I have the future. God has a plan for me. Oh, this time. I'm sure, Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word. Your word is faithful, mighty in power. God will deliver me. Of this I'm sure. Of this I'm sure. Jesus, my foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, my foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word. We shall assemble on the mountain. We shall assemble at the throne. With humble hearts into his presence, we bring an offering of song. Glory and honor and dominion unto the
Good morning and welcome to all. Glad to have a good crowd here today on a very hot summer Sunday. Welcome to all online as well. We're glad to have you as a part of our West Irwin worshiping family today. Hope that whether you're here or away, if you have the app, we would love for you to fill out a card. There's some right in front of you. Or if you have our app, then you can register your attendance today online. And we would appreciate that very, very much. Today is a great day. If you're a visitor today, good choice. Well done. We're having lunch today. It'll be in our Family Life Center. It's right across from West Irwin Street from our main facility here. And everyone is invited, and we'll have plenty and plenty and plenty of food, wonderful desserts, and glad to have everyone to stay and to be a part of that. Looking forward to that time of fellowship together. Because of that, we will not have any specific activities here at our church building this evening. Some of the small groups will be meeting next week instead of this week. And so be sure you check with your group about that. But be sure and take part in our luncheon today. Pick up a bulletin if you haven't already. Be sure and notice some of the things in there, especially we have a couple of big activities coming up, lots of activities, but one is Bunko Night for the ladies. So if you're interested in rolling them sixes, then sign up. There's a sign-up sheet in the foyer, and that goes way, way back in our family. And so I know that will be a great time, but be sure and sign up. Also, our Young at Heart will have their quarterly area-wide together next week, and that will be at Shiloh Road Church of Christ. And so there's a sign-up sheet out there in the foyer for that as well. So if you wouldn't mind, please sign up for those. Lots of other stuff in the bulletin and online as well. Last week, we began picking up our communion cups a little differently. We have some little pails, little buckets that our communion guys up here will be going through the auditorium. After the prayer for the contribution, they will be going along, and actually, that's after the prayer for the cup. See there, we're still working on this, but we'll have the prayer for the bread, and then they'll distribute the cups with the bread and the grape juice. And then after the prayer for the cup, they will have the little pails with them and go through the congregation. And if you would, please put your cups in there. And we would appreciate that very, very much. And then we'll go on with the rest of the service from there. Appreciate everyone's participation in that. If you have comments about that, then feel free to let us know. It's okay to share good comments that you love it, as well as those comments that say, not so much. We want to hear. You can talk to our ministers or the elders about that. We would love for you to register your feedback and input there. Be sure you check the prayer list and note those prayers. And I know the classes typically have a lot of updates in them as well. So be mindful and be prayerful. At this time, Jonathan Stone has an update about our youth minister search process.
In the last several minutes, I realized I really do not like getting in front of large groups to talk. And I'd like to y'all to know y'all are really nerve-wracking for me, but I'm sorry. Seriously, I'd just like to provide an update on our youth minister search. We have formed a committee, and I'm thankful West Irwin has so many people that are willing to help. I'm also thankful for these couples to agree to be on this committee. The group is comprised of the following: Cody and Kayla Abels, Colby and Anna Chandler, Stephen and Leanna Freeman, Sam and Kara Mink, Kelly and Heather Monahan, Eric and Stacy Mosley, Cameron and Kristen Williams, and Laurie and I. We've also asked Ethan and Nathan to be special contributors. This committee's goal, of course, is to prayerfully find the man God has planned for our youth. Several names have already been suggested to us, and if you have anyone in mind, please let anyone on the committee know. I also ask that, I know that we will ask many of you for your assistance, and please keep us in your prayers. Most specifically, please pray that we allow God to lead us to the next minister or our youth. Thank you.
Joyce and I moved to Tyler in July 2015, just over 9 years ago. We told each other that this would be the last stop of our full-time ministry career and service. As of just under 2 weeks ago, on August the 6th, I have been blessed to be in full-time ministry and service of the church of our Lord for over 46 years. We moved here because we believe this is where God wanted us to be, to continue our service to Him by serving the West Irwin Church of Christ. And we believe that still. Over the last few years, the elders and I have been talking about the long-term nature of our ministry and service together. We all agree that that relationship should continue. We also agree that it is time to begin a transition process that will lead to a new preaching minister here and a new ministry role for me. Let me assure you, Joyce and I are not going anywhere. Nice try, but no, we're not leaving. Sorry. We will continue to love and serve this wonderful church family and be loved and helped and supported by all of you here as well. Simply put, we love this church, and we love being a part of the fellowship, ministry, and leadership here. And along with that, let me be very clear that the elders here have given us every assurance that we will continue to be supported in every way by the church here. We have had some very frank discussions about all of this, and I am deeply grateful for the promise and commitments the elders have made to us. Not every preacher experiences that. I am humbled by their encouragement and support and commitment. At 67 years of age, I am far from old, thank you very much. But over the last few years, Joyce and I have had more conversations about retirement than in the rest of our lives combined. Far, far more. I can tell you that retirement for me doesn't mean no longer working for the church here, but it does mean ultimately working in a different role, and hopefully sometime in the future working less, more in a part-time than a full-time role. For now, however, that is a long way off. But the elders and I agree that we do not want to get to that point unprepared. We want this transition to be a deliberate, well-thought-out, and well-prayed-over process. And the elders want me to have a significant role in this process. I am truly humbled by their desire and by the elders' continued love and support for Joyce and me. I am more than happy to take that role and be a part of this process. We will be putting together a committee that will help us navigate through this transition. At this point, there is no fixed timeline. However, we are going to take this process very seriously and work hard to seek the Lord's will and see this next chapter of our West Irwin history begin to be written within the next year or so. When we came here in July of 2015, the church was going through a very trying time. We have all experienced quite a ride these last 9 years, and of course still face challenges as we look at the years ahead. But there are also wonderful opportunities for this church to continue to serve the Lord as we serve each other, as we serve this community, and as we seek to be the light of the world our Savior has called us to be. Just as He has done in the past 139 years of the West Irwin Church's existence, and just as He has done in the past 9 years of our ministry here with you, our great God will lead and bless us. He will guide and empower us to accomplish His will and to share His love and His word. I deeply, deeply love this church and am grateful for the opportunity I have had and still have to each week share the love and word of God with you. It is because of our love for this church family, as well as the acknowledgement of the stage of life that Joyce and I are now entering, that I believe the time has come for us to get started preparing for the next man who will have the great blessing and calling that you have so generously and lovingly entrusted to me. I look forward to being a part of this process and ask you to be prayerful as we go through it, both for Joyce and me, as well as for this West Irwin church family that we all deeply love. Our shepherd, Grant Knight.
Good morning. Well, if you can't tell, we're entering into a phase of transition. First, I want to thank Jonathan Stone for his comments about the youth search committee. But I also want to thank Ethan Stone and Nathan Turner for stepping up this summer when we needed them to help with the youth, to keep them engaged and involved. And we are really grateful for that and for helping with the transition as we search for a full-time youth minister. As Jonathan mentioned, this committee will be led by him, and he called off the names. But we ask for your prayers for this committee and all that serve on it. Bill, thank you for what you just read. Thank you for your comments. And I want to confirm those comments, not only for myself, but on behalf of the elders. You know, it's not often you come across a teenager in San Antonio, Texas, who at a very young age has a clear idea of what he wants to do, and that was to become a minister of the gospel. Now, I could do the math, figure out about how old he was when he did that, but I'm close to the same age, so then I would date myself, and I can promise you, at that age, I had no clue. And some people may still think I have no clue. But Bill and Joyce have served in a number of places, have touched a lot of people, and have been faithful servants of the Lord. And that's no more evident than when you get the opportunity to meet a young physician in Fayetteville, Arkansas, like I did, who did her training in Wake Forest, North Carolina, and attended the church where Bill Allen served as the pulpit minister. Kind of shows you the reach and touch that they have had. We've been fortunate to have had them here. And as Bill mentioned, this transition has been and will be a deliberate, well thought out, and well prayed over process. And speaking for the elders, we are thankful that Bill Allen is going to be a part of that process and that transition. Again, a committee will be formed that will be separate from the Youth Search Committee, and we are in the process of doing that. And we ask for your prayers and all that serve on it. Now, I will ask all of you the following, this request. If you have a question or a comment, a thought, or a consideration, please bring it to one of the elders or one of the committee members. Now, I cannot promise that we will act on it, but I promise that we will listen and give it the prayerful consideration that is warranted. But we cannot act if we do not know. So please let us know. These are exciting times for us. It's a transition, and sometimes it causes a little anxiety. But this is good for our youth. It's good for our church, and it is good for God's kingdom. And I firmly believe that God's hand is guiding this process and will continue to grow and bless West Irwin. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that we can come and worship you, to gather in this place, to commune with you and with each other, and the freedom to worship you and to learn about your word. And Father, we're thankful for knowing that when we meet together, that you are present. And where you are present, there is power. And today we cast our burdens before you. And we know that you are aware of everything going on in our lives, and that we pray for the peace that only you can give us, to take away our fears, our worries, and our anxieties, but to help us to reflect on your goodness and to know that you provide the strength to help us through the trials that we all experience in our lives. And Father, we pray for those who are traveling and those who are not able to be here today. We pray for this church, the staff, the elders, the deacons, the teachers, the volunteers, and the growth of this church. And Father, we pray especially for this time of transition as we seek a new pulpit minister and as we seek a new youth minister, and that you will see this church through this time of transition and change, that you will bless us with the right men and their families to serve in these capacities. And Father, we pray for those on our prayer list. And you know who they are. But Father, we also pray for those who are not on our prayer list and for those who are struggling and those who have trials and tribulations in their lives. And we pray that you will send your Holy Spirit to those who need and comfort and protection. And Father, we pray for our students and our teachers who have returned to school, the administrators. We pray for a good, positive experience. And Father, we pray for our college students, those who will be starting college, and those who will soon be graduating and looking towards the next phases of their lives. And Father, we pray for our country and our nation. We pray for our elected leaders. And as we move into the fall, The political rhetoric will heat up, and we know that that will happen, but we pray that we will not get caught up in all that goes on in that arena. And we pray that we will not fall victim to those who would use strife to divide us, but help us to be confident that you are looking over us all and to be united in the belief that you are truly in control. And as Christians, let us not be divided, because it is that division that Satan uses to keep us from being focused on you. Father, we pray that we be strong and steadfast in the battle between good and evil, to be mindful of those words in John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Father, we have all sinned, we all fall short, but we know we have salvation through you, and we are here today to help and encourage each other. We know you will always love us, you will never forsake us, and you will always do what is best for us. In your Son's name we pray, amen.
As we prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, let's sing the old rugged cross.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. He had the loss of freedom and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophy is at last laid down. I will cling to the old rugged cross, and its changes someday for a crown.
Good morning. This past Friday, we had a church-wide lock-in, actually an area-wide lock-in here at the church, and it began at 6:30 p.m. Friday and ended at 9 a.m. Saturday morning. We had about 53 people in attendance, and you're looking at me like, well, what does that have to do with anything about the Lord's Supper? Except for the lack of sleep that we had that night made me think of this, and I want to read to you in Matthew chapter 26, a night where Jesus was prayerful and did not get much sleep because of the things he was thinking about. Then Jesus went to his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and two of the sons of Zebedee along with him. He began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away a second time and prayed, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away from me unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back again, he found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come. The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. Now, this is just 10 or 12 verses after the Last Supper, which is what we're modeling our Lord's Supper now after. Jesus knew full well what was coming, and we see that he was sorrowful even to the point of death. We know that we sing the song that he could have called 10,000 angels. He could have done this differently. But he said, if it's not my will, but your will be done. Let's think about that as we pray and as we partake of this Lord's Supper. Father, thank you for this supper that was implemented so long ago. Thank you for the plan of salvation that you had for us. Thank you more, Father, for Jesus, who was willing to die on that cross for us, who was willing to be beaten, who was willing to be scourged, who was willing to go through a mock trial for us. Father, who was willing to take that pain and endure it and willing to do so for us. Father, thank you for that body that was hung on that cross. Thank you for the bread which represents that body that we partake of now. And Father, help us to remember the blessings that we have because you did die for us, because of that plan of salvation. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous
with me again. Father, in the same manner that we took the bread and we remembered the body that was hung on that cross, Father, we also take this fruit of the vine, which represents that blood that was shed for us. And Father, we know that it flowed from the hands and the feet and the head and the side of our Savior. And Father, we know even more importantly that you did that again willingly for us, for the salvation of our sins. Father, help us to take this cup and remember truly what it means to us as Christians. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Bible class this morning talked about fears and talked about things that cripple us. One of the things that was mentioned was finances, and we know the political stage now with inflation and the way things are going in pricing, and it's jacking up and it's affecting a lot of people. I can promise you God's inflation is taken care of by his blessings. Our inflation is taken care of by God's blessings, rather. I can promise you that we will never outgive God. I can promise you that he can take what we do give and multiply that. Let's think about that as we pray now. Father, thank you so much for the nation that we live in. Father, you have blessed each one of us so much. And Father, sometimes we forget how blessed we are. Sometimes we forget how much that you can multiply the things that you have given us that we give back to you. Father, help us to look into our hearts now and give willingly and freely, Father, but help us to understand also that you can multiply that. Father, be with those that are looking after the funds that are given. Help them to make decisions that will spread your kingdom, that will affect the community that's around us and affect your church. Again, Father, help us to give generously and willingly. Thank you for all you've given to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
pass your attendance cards to the aisle that's closest to you. We have some young men that are come by and pass those, pick those up for you. Also, if you're involved with the BLAST program, you're dismissed at this time. And if we would, please stand before Bill's sermon.
Love one another.
So in class today, we were talking about, as Kelly mentioned, some of us in our classes, fear and anxiety and faith. Perfect timing, God. Well done. Well done. So we appreciate everyone's love for us, everyone's support for us, everyone's prayers for us. And as I said in the statement earlier, we're not going anywhere. We're going to be right here. We're going to be a functioning part of this church family, and I'm going to continue in a role of ministry, certainly preaching as we go through this process, and another role when the new man comes in, and I will be a great supporter of him. I will be his biggest cheerleader, I promise you, because if he messes up, I'm going to break his legs. Actually, that's not true. We're excited about this process. We're excited and appreciative and so grateful for the elders and their support. As I said, we've been talking about this for a long, long time. This is not something that's new. It's not even 2 years new. And we've been wanting to do this, as we said, in a deliberate and prayerful way. And I believe that that's what we're doing. And I believe it's time. I do. I believe it's time for us, and I believe that it's time for the church. And I think it's going to be a great, great thing for the present and the future of this wonderful church family that we all love so much. Just as God, I think, guided our theme in Bible class this morning, I think he's also had a hand in what I've selected to preach on today. We've been talking about powerful prayers found in the Bible, and we see a lot of that, and we've looked at a lot of great prayers and a lot of very powerful moments of prayer in God's people, Old Testament and New. And over the last few weeks, we've been speaking specifically about the prayers of Jesus. Earlier, we have seen this chapter that we're going to be talking about today, John 17. For 19 verses, John 17 records Jesus praying for himself and for his apostles. As Kelly led us around the table today, Jesus prayed in the garden, and we talked about that prayer, and Jesus prayed specifically that God would glorify his name. Glorify your name, Father. Jesus prays at the beginning of John 17. And what he's praying is specifically in light of what he had prayed in the garden, which was, not my will, but yours be done. And so now as he's realizing this is about to happen, that's what he prays. Glorify your name. And Jesus knows the way that God is about to be glorified, and it's going to be through his death. And so he prays for himself that he would be able to go through that and that God would actually glorify his name in the midst of all of that. In verses 6 through 19 of John 17, he prays for the apostles. He prays for them specifically, and perhaps this is a part of that prayer in Gethsemane, but he prays for them that they will be able to be what he wants them to be. And that means living in the world without being of the world. That means being in the midst of a world that is at times chaos, at times very violent, at times very much opposed to the work and the will and the love and the word of Christ. And yet that is the world that he is putting his apostles out into with this new message of the gospel. And so he prays for them in those first 19 verses. Then the focus of Jesus' prayer turns to us, to you and me. Not just the first century church, not just the church through the ages, but to you and me today. It begins with these words in John 17, verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Verse 24, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Verse 25, righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. And they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Jesus prays for himself as he faces the hardest hours of his life. He prays for his apostles as they will go through what are some of the hardest hours of their life. And then his focus turns to us. So three statements of Jesus, three themes, three areas of focus in this prayer. First of all, Jesus prays for our unity. He prays for our unity. As our shepherd led the prayer, Grant, earlier, and closed that prayer, he closed with this great prayer for our unity. And we're going to talk a lot about that over these next few minutes, but first these words in John 17, beginning at verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Jesus had just talked about his 12 apostles. He had just offered specific prayer for them. And then in this verse, he transitions and he says, it's not just these men that are my followers right now that I pray for. I pray for all of those who will believe in me through their message. Guess who that includes? It includes us. 2,000 years ago, as he was facing his own death, the ones Jesus had on his mind and in his heart and in his prayers were you and me. I don't pray just for these men that I have come to love so much, but I pray for everyone who will believe in me because of their message, because of their words. My prayer is not for them alone, verse 20. I pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. We'll speak more about the last part of that verse, but do you capture the significance of this? Jesus says, Father, you and I are one. And now what I'm praying for is that they will be one with us, just like we are one. The same relationship that the Jesus the Son has with God the Father, he wants for all of us. And it's significant, I think, that this is what Jesus wants. May they be in us, and may you and I share that unity with them that we have with each other. May all of them be one, Father, just as we are one. You are in me, and I am in you. Verse 22, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I and them and you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. That unity that we share with each other, that unity that we sang about just a few minutes ago, just before the sermon, and all those great passages of Scripture from 1 John 3 and 4, from 1 Corinthians 13 and Matthew 22 and all of those other great passages, other passages like Ephesians 4 that speaks about maintaining the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That great love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13. Jesus is praying for that. He's praying for our unity. He's praying for our unity in verses 20 through 23. And it's that call to love one another, to be one with each other, as we are one together with God our Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus prays for our unity. Secondly, today, Jesus prays for our salvation. And that's John 17, verse 24. Jesus prays for our salvation. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. I love the way this is put. Jesus says, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me, and to know the love that you have given me. This is what Jesus wants. We understand it's what he came for. We understand it's what he died for. But it's what he wants. Peter will tell it this way in 2 Peter chapter 3. God doesn't want anyone to die. He wants everyone to live, to come to repentance. But he wants everyone to live with him. Jesus prays, Father, this is what I want. I want them to be one. I want them to have unity, but I want them to be saved. I want them to be with us. There is a great joy that is there. There is a great message that is there, that Jesus wants us to be with him. In Deuteronomy, in Joshua chapter 1, all of those passages, there is that sense of, I will be with you forever. As Jesus shares through the writer of the book of Hebrews in chapter 13. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what Jesus wants. That's why he came and why he died, so that he could be with us and we could be with him. That's salvation. I want them to be saved, Jesus prays. I want them to be with us. And I've believed for a long time that the greatest thing about heaven is the worst thing about hell. Oh, I have a lot of questions about heaven and hell, so don't hit me with those during the lunchtime, because I'll just have this really dumb look on my face and shake my head and say, I don't know. But I do know this. The greatest thing about heaven is the worst thing about hell. You see, the greatest thing about heaven is that Jesus will be there. And the worst thing about hell is that Jesus will not be there. Jesus prays for our unity. He prays for our salvation. And then thirdly, Jesus prays for our witness. Verses 25 and 26 of John 17. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. And they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. Jesus says that they know me. They know my love, but the rest of the world doesn't. How will they know those things? How will they get that message? The world doesn't get it, but the church does. And so our calling is to somehow take that message of that love and that salvation and that unity and that blessing and that eternal life to the world. Through our lives, through our faith, through our peace, so that they will know and they will see and the world will know. This is what Jesus said earlier in verses 21 and verse 23. Let them be one. Let them be unified. Let them have a common message. Not all agree on everything. No, the scriptures are very clear that that's never been the intention. But to be one, to have that unity that Grant prayed for, to have that unity that we celebrated around this table, to have that unity that we have sung about today, that's based on our love for God, our love for each other, and especially based on God's love for us. Jesus prays for our witness. He prays that people will see our lives and see our unity and know this is my people. These are my disciples. That's what Jesus prays about. That's what Jesus wants for us. In Acts chapters 3 and 4, as we saw in a prayer earlier in this series, the disciples were being persecuted and threatened for the first time. And when they were released from those Jewish leaders, Peter and John, and they went back to the church and they all gathered together and they all prayed. They prayed that God would give them boldness and that God would help their witness. But the thing that the Jewish leaders recognized, they took note that these men had been with Jesus. And as we are in our community, and as we are in our families, and as we are in our jobs, and as we are in our schools, and as we are in our circles, do they know by our actions and our lives that we are with Jesus? That is our witness. Jesus tells us, go into all the world and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you, love, salvation, unity, all of these things. And I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's the promise of Jesus. He will be with us forever as long as this world lasts, and he will be with us forever after that. Because that's what he wants. I want them to be with me. I want them to be with us. I want them to know the love and the oneness that you and I both share. That was his prayer to the Father. Jesus prays for our unity. He prays for our salvation. And he prays for our witness, that the world will know that he has sent us. That the world, even though it doesn't know him now, will know him because of our lives and because of our words. As we close this morning, it's with this thought from Psalm 133, verse 1. Simply put, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. That was true in the days of the psalmist, and that is true today. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live in unity. And unity is not uniformity. Unity does not mean there are no differences. Unity does not mean that there aren't some, occasional discussions. That's the greatness about the church. That's the greatness about unity in diversity. Because we're better and we're stronger. Because in spite of all those things, and in some ways because of all those things, we are one. We are one. Jesus prayed that we would be one. We get to live that out. That's what he died for. That we would be one with each other just as he is one with the Father, and that we would be one with them. It's always good for us today to pray for these same things, to pray for our unity, to pray for our salvation, and to pray for our witness. In the months ahead, it is especially important. As we look for two men to come and join us and lead us in our work together for the Lord here at West Irwin, we pray these same three things daily, constantly. We pray for our unity. We pray for our salvation. And we pray for our witness. Pray for these things. Today and every day. And pray with faith. Pray with trust in the one who has promised to be there for us, who has done everything he can to enable us to be with him for eternity. That's what he wants. That's why he died. Pray for our unity. Pray for our salvation. Pray for our witness. And trust in that faithful love. That faithful love that can be found only above, in the very throne room of God, in the place where God the Father reigns and Jesus the Savior is at his right hand. It can only be found in our hearts in the person of the Holy Spirit. Pray and know and trust. One of the verses we talked about in our class this morning, be still and know that I am God. That's the promise of his faithful love. This morning, if you need help and encouragement in your life of faith today, come as we stand and sing this wonderful song together.
Faithful love flowing down from the thorn covered ground. Amen.
you for being here, and thank you to those tuning in online. Thank you too. I'd like to remind you about the luncheon across the street right after this. If you can brave the heat, you'll make it, I promise. And also, between looking for a new youth minister and soon to be a new preaching minister, I'd like to remind you that God is with us and God loves us. And to that, we can shout hallelujah. Get it? I thought that was funny. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Sing aloud to God, let the people shout before his throne. Hallelujah, sing aloud to God. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. From the ends of the earth, from the depths of the sea, let all creation praise his name. Of the sea, let all creation praise his name. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout
pray. Father, we certainly have every right, privilege, and honor to shout hallelujah. We thank you, God, for being God, for being our creator, for being our sustainer, for being the one, Father, who is so gracious and merciful and so forgiving when we fail you. We're grateful, Father, for John 17. We're thankful for a God and a Son who prays for us, who loves us so very much, Father, that he prays that we would be unified with one another in spirit and truth. We're grateful, Father, for this congregation of loving people who love one another, who encourage one another and build each other up. Father, we thank you for this congregation and its years of service right here in the heart of Tyler, and we pray your continued blessings on us as we look into the future. Father, we pray that you would bless the meal that we're about to partake of as we share our common faith and a love that we have, and for the provisions, Father, that you've given to us that might nourish our bodies, that we might serve you more effectively. We pray, Father, you would be with us this week. May we be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. May we be a city set upon a hill that cannot be hidden. Father, we thank you for your Son and his precious gift and for the salvation that you provide for us through his blood. It's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen.